This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Richard Lane. How are you, Richard?
Hi, Chris. Fine, thanks.
Excellent, excellent. We were talking to you last week about being a blind person, tasting wines and doing the WSD courses. But this week, I want to talk a bit about Bergerac, because you went down to Bergerac. For how long were you down there, and when was that, Richard?
Yeah, my wife, Liz, and guide dog Topper and myself, we decided we needed a gap year. You know how the kids always have a gap year these days? So why can't we have a gap year? We didn't have gap years when we were 18 or 21 or whatever. So we took a year off from our various jobs, got granted time off. I think they were glad to see the back of us. They were in my case anyway. And we'd been to France a lot, and I had this growing wine passion that we talked about last week, started with WSETs levels 2 and 3. And wanted to go to France. My wife speaks good French. My French was reasonable and is a bit better now. It's probably faded a bit since we've been back, but wanted to go to a country where we could use our language skills a bit and also be somewhere a bit warmer. So it had to be south of the Loire, really, for a climatic effect. And we were thinking, well, actually, where's it going to be? And we thought historic Dordogne, or the Périgord, it's also called, would be great, because you're near Bordeaux and all those the fantastic wine, but also Bergerac's got lots of history, good food, interesting food, and also very rural. We're quite townies, really, and we wanted to live in the sticks for a year and speak French and eat local food and get to know the local wine scene. So Bergerac was the obvious place.
Cool. I went to Cahors a wee while ago. I don't know what Bergerac's like, but a lot of French countryside I find a little bit shabby chic, or as I call it, run down. But I went to Cahors a wee while ago, and it was absolutely beautiful area in France. The Lot River and the Lot Valley and all that sort of stuff was gorgeous. What was Bergerac like?
To be fair, I'm blind, but I know what it looks like because so many people came to stay, and my wife described it to me. Liz described so much of it to me. Bergerac is a town, obviously, and it's on the River Dordogne, and that's the centre of the wine region. The actual Périgord region is much larger, and Bergerac is just in the bottom left-hand corner. They call it the purple Périgord because of the colour of the vine leaves turn in autumn. They go a nice purple colour. And Bergerac is on that River Dordogne about 80 miles east of Bordeaux. And obviously, and as you know, Chris, because you're an educator, the Dordogne heads downstream and meets up with the Garonne near Bordeaux and forms that great big estuary, the Gironde, which of course is where all your left bank crew classic wines are, on the left bank of the Gironde, and that goes out into the Atlantic Ocean. So Bergerac's are kind of about 90 miles upstream from Bordeaux.
And Dordogne's a river that sort of separates the right bank from Entre de Mer. So
that's it, because you've got the Dordogne River coming in, and then you've got the from the east, you've got the Garonne River coming up from the southeast, and that area in between two seas, Entre deux Mers, that's where the Entre deux Mers white wine region is. And then obviously once that then forms to the right of that, you've got right bank, Saint-Emilion, Reds, etc. And to the left of that Gironde estuary, you've got the Médoc.
I've always thought of Bergerac as being a sort of Bordeaux lookalike, and a lot of people, including Chances, sort of describes it as the sort of country bumpkin of Bordeaux. And you said you wanted to be in the country, so it does sound a bit like that. As minimal words as possible, how would you describe Bergerac?
I would describe it as Bordeaux's baby brother, because it's joined to Bordeaux. The whole of the area is just one huge vineyard, effectively. So it's joined to it. All the vines stretch all the way down to Bordeaux. But what Bergerac is brilliant at is there's so much variety in such a small space. Compared to Cahors, I love Cahors, which is 50 miles south of Bergerac. You go to the Maison du Vin in Cahors, it's a bit dull because you're just tasting Malbec. You're just tasting red wines, lovely though they are. You go to the Maison du Vin in Bergerac and do a tasting there, and you will taste white, dry whites, medium dry whites, sweet whites, rosés, sweet dries, basic reds, oak reds, you just got such a spectrum in Bergerac within a small area of about 9,000 hectares. Jancis also says they're making some seriously good wine now in Bergerac, which they are.
Merlot must be the dominant grape variety, because you think about Bordeaux, and to get Cab Sav to ripen, you need the slightly longer days that you get being on the right bank and gravel and all this sort of stuff. You move further inland, I imagine it's drier but hotter and shorter to summer. So can you ripen Cab Sav, and is Merlot the dominant one?
The short answer is Merlot is the dominant. First of all, black variety is about 60% red compared to sort of 35% white and 5% rosé. And Merlot definitely dominates, because most wine you'll find is ordinary Bergerac Rouge, which is just like an ordinary AC Bordeaux, of good quality, nothing special, fruity, Merlot dominant red wine. Mm-hmm. And that is a mirror image. So Bergerac Rouge is a bit dull, because it's just like Bordeaux Rouge, which is also a bit dull.
Yeah.
But no question. Can you ripen Cab? You definitely can ripen Cab, because Bergerac's climate, as you've indicated, is similar to Bordeaux, because it's 80 miles inland. It's a bit warmer. Allegedly, it's a bit drier, but it rained a heck of a lot when the year we were there. I tell you, it was the wettest spring on record. But when just before we arrived in Bergerac, autumn 2017, Chris, we were there for a year, 17-18. You know what happened in the end of April in 17? Absolute decimation of vines because of late spring frost, Bordeaux and Bergerac. So yeah, absolutely. Spring frost is a problem, particularly in Bergerac, because it's more continental, going back to what you were saying. Mm. I think the season, to be fair, I don't think it is shorter. I think because the Indian summers you get, and not just the year we were there, we spoke to the locals and they said, yeah, it happens every year. Every year, you can be warm in Bergerac to mid-November, no problem. I was cycling in shorts in mid-November. 2 weeks later, there was snow on the ground. That's another matter. But absolutely, you can. And that's why you can ripen Cabernet Sauvignon. And you do have a bit of gravel as well around the northern banks of the River Dordogne. So you do get some nice sights with good draining and also that reflection of the sun, and it's facing south on the north bank of the Dordogne. So terroir is pretty good for Cab Sauv, I would say. And that's what contributes to the variety of wines you can get there.
You said it was mainly Merlot, but is it a bit like Bordeaux where there's a little strip of Cab Sauv on the Haute Médoc and that's about it on the Médoc?
Yeah, you get it dotted around the place. So you'll get it on both banks of the river, but you'll just get it in best sites where you've got best aspects. And if you've got some stones there, gravelly soils, which might be fairly close to the river, then that's where it'll be planted. I suspect it's probably about 20% planting, something like that. But you'll also have a bit of Cabernet Franc and the aforementioned Malbec, because Cowell's only just down the road, and there's more Malbec in Bergerac than there is in Bordeaux.
Okay. The alcohols, because if it's more continental, you're going inland, you're getting hotter summers, where you expect slightly hotter summers, which means that your photosynthesis will be more efficient, so you'll land up with potentially higher alcohols. Is that the case, or is it this growing season's a little bit shorter, so...
I think, to be honest, I don't think there's that much difference in the alcohol. Most of the Bergerac wines are not huge wines. Mm-hmm. They tend to be around 13, 13.5 in the medium spectrum. You might get some.
I tell you what, 10, 15 years ago, that would have been considered quite gutsy. 13
exactly. It's funny, isn't it? We're talking about that. But you don't get many Bergerac wines over 14%. So that could be for a number of factors, obviously. But I think the style they're wanting is this just nice, kind of nothing too over the top. The Côte de Bergerac, which is a different appellation, is a superior appellation, and their red wines are better. They'll use more Cab Sauv and they'll definitely oak those wines. Most ordinary Bergerac Rouge is just simple Merlot that's in stainless steel, just like AC Bordeaux.
I was reading somewhere that there's a little bit of limestone on some of the higher ground. Limestone tends to set the acidity off a little bit, and you find the tannins get a little bit harder, which is why they grow Merlot in Saint-Emilion, because Saint-Emilion's on, or there's some limestone in Saint-Emilion. So put Cab Sauv on limestone, it can be quite hard. There's a little bit of limestone there. Do you find you get sort of more robust styles from that?
There is a bit of, yeah, you do. I wouldn't say it's more robust, actually. I mean, I think it's actually the limestone ridge often on the north bank, particularly as you're heading west, there's a fantastic bit of, not many people have heard of Bergerac. I suspect no one's heard of Mont-Ravel, but Mont-Ravel is there are three appellations to the west of the Bergerac region. You're almost in Castillon, you're almost in Saint-Emilion territory, but you're still within the area of Bergerac, and they've got some limestone there. And it's producing really elegant wines, actually. The terroir there is fantastic. And there's some limestone ridges, as I said, on the north bank of the Dordogne, similar to the bits of limestone you find around Saint-Emilion.
Yeah, okay. Now, that makes sense, because limestone tends to give you more acidity, and if you manage tannins, you won't necessarily get the hardness coming through.
That's it.
And elegant is just another word for what people use for acidity. So
Fresh. And if you go anywhere to, and you ask any winemaker or viticulturist or estate owner in Bergerac, anyone, what's your soil like? Or they'll all say exactly the same thing. Argile calcaire, clay limestone.
Marl, isn't it? We normally call that marl, isn't it?
I'm no geologist, so maybe you need to check that one out, Chris. But I mean, argile is clay and limestone is limestone. And like any good soils you get, particularly for viticulture, it's that combination you're getting of clay and limestone.
What about the whites? Because a lot of people may have heard of Monbazillac, which is sort of a... to my experience, it's just slightly less sweet than a Sauternes, but it's that sort of sweeter style of white wines.
Yeah, I mean, definitely come to Monbazillac in a sec, but just the full spectrum of white wines in Bergerac. The Bergerac Blanc is dry, and it's Sauvignon Blanc and Semillon, and it's fine, fresh, and everyday drinking. Also in Bergerac, you get these very specific to the area. I think just the locals drink them, or you find them in the local restaurants. You get this medium dry style of white wine called moelleux. And it's M-O-E. You know when the O and the E get squashed together?
M-O-E. Oh, yeah.
M-O-E squashed together, double L-E-U-X, moelleux. It means mellow, really. And it's just a soft kind of medium dry white wine. And there's an appellation in Bergerac called Rosette, tiny appellation that specializes in that. Then you get these dessert wines. You get them in Mont-Ravel that I mentioned earlier, in Old Mont-Ravel. You get them in a place called Saucignac, and you most famously get them in an area called Monbazillac. Absolutely. And Monbazillac's the only appellation, or the only wine, I suppose, that really has international status from Bergerac. And they're fantastic wines. They're a slightly more affordable version of Sauternes. I don't think the quality is compared with Sauternes. I think the best Monbazillac, and there's an estate called Tircoul-la-Gravière, is an unbelievable estate, and I think their Monbazillac is as good as any Sauternes that I've tasted. But generally speaking, Monbazillac is a kind of very good expression of a dessert wine, and it's made by, yes, noble rot, which you can get because you're close to the river there, you know, the foggy mornings, shriveling the grapes. Doesn't have to be noble rot. It can just be late harvest as well. Mm. So it's a combination of late hang grapes and noble rot grapes to form this wonderful sweet wine that we know called Monbazillac. And it's an amazing chateau. Monbazillac's a village just south of Bergerac. Bergerac's mainly on the north bank. And if you go 3 miles south, there's a town stuck on a hill, and that's Monbazillac. And the chateau, the Monbazillac, which is where it was first made, is perched high on a hill, and you've got this amazing view, apparently, for those who can see. Looking across, you can wave at Bergerac 3 miles away. And that's where a lot of the vineyards are.
Okay. Jansen's, I mean, I drink Monbazillac, and we're doing a lot of virtual tastings, and the last wine we're finishing up with is a Monbazillac at the moment. But my experience is they're not as sweet as a Sauternes. Sometimes the ones we're trying at the moment, I'd be hard to call it sweet. I'd call it medium sweet as opposed to sweet. Do you find that they're not? You said that they don't always have as much botrytis, noble rot, that concentrates the sugars.
That's it.
Do you find that it's not as much noble rot typically in Monbazillac?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's the difference. So it all depends on the vintage. I think you've got to know your noble rot vintages with Monbazillac, and I don't have enough knowledge to know which ones are good or not. But certainly, if you get the right conditions, then clearly you'll have you might even have 100% noble rot if you're really lucky, particularly from a top producer like the one I mentioned, Théocoule La Gravière. I think if people taste one of their wines blind in with some Sauternes, I think that would be a really great tasting. And I'd love to know whether people can spot the Montbazillac from Théocoule La Gravière because it's so good. But generally speaking, you're right. It can just be late harvest. So it just has that kind of medium, you're almost in medium sweet territory. I think you should be in sweet territory because the appellation rule states that you've got to have a minimum residual sugar over 50. So you've got to be in the sweet territory.
But Sauternes is normally about, I normally think
but it could be 200 or 300.
Yeah, so I always think Sauternes are at 130 as a minimum.
Yeah, that's it. And this is, I think, what confuses people with sweet wines, because you can just be, in terms of residual sugar, you can just be a sweet wine. I don't know, 80 or 100 or something, but some sweet wines can be 300.
Yeah.
You know, so they're three times as sweet.
Or there's 500 for the Rutherglen Muscats and some of those.
Oh, yeah. And the Tokais and stuff. Yeah. Absolutely. So there's sweet and there's sweet, isn't there? Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And what about the other... I was reading, because as I say, I don't know much about Bergerac, so I was trying to bone up on it. Mm-hmm. And they said there's a little bit more Muscatel in some of the Bergerac wines than perhaps in Bordeaux. You know, in Bordeaux, you do get Muscatel, but it's normally it's a bit like Petit Verdot in Bordeaux. It's there, but it's not really a dominant grape variety. And Genesis was saying that there's a little bit more Muscatel in Bergerac. Is that
Muscadel with a D. Muscadel, you definitely get it, and it's used a lot in the sweet wines. So you'll find it for Montbazillac and Sauternes, which is nearby, which is also sweet wine appellation. And you may even find a tiny bit, just put in some dry wines because it's a bit like Semillon. It gives great body. Absolutely. So, and it's a really, really grapey tasting wine, Muscadel. So it's fantastic in the Montbazillac because, you know, it's got a great affinity, I think, for botrytis. It's adding roundness. It's really filling out that mid palate, you know. It's really useful grape from that point of view. It's nice. It's a grapey grape.
Cool. Is there anything else on the white wines? You said a lot of the whites are dry, Sauvignon, Semillon, sometimes... Did you say that sometimes they're a little bit off dry?
Yeah, medium dry, I'd say. There's the medium dry, and they call it moelleux.
Yeah, that's right.
And it comes from a tiny, tiny appellation called Rosette, which is just west of Bergerac on the north bank of the river. I think the general point, Chris, is important, is that Bergerac's interesting. No one's heard of these wines because they don't export their wines very much. And it's such a big tourist area because historically Bergerac and the Périgord is so interesting. If you're interested in history and you want to see chateaus and castles and you want to canoe down the river and you want to go camping and you want to have confit de canard, which is lovely fatty duck dish, you know, there's so much history there that a lot of the producers don't need to export their wines because the local tourist market is so big.
Is there any rosés down there?
Yep. All over the place, you just find dry rosés. And again, it's just a very simple, well, I think most rosés are pretty simple. Don't spend much time drinking rosé. Rosés, for me, like everyone else probably, it's just a lovely drink on a warm summer's day. And you get plenty of simple rosés, tend to be made from Cab. So
this is probably not the right, person to ask this, but a lot of rosés, even in Bordeaux now, they're going for that very salmon light colour from Provence, you know, where it's just a direct pressing and very little skin maceration. Do you know what the colour is? Sorry about this.
If you're not sure about the colour, Chris, ask a blind guy, okay?
Yeah, that's right.
I can tell you that I'm almost sure that some of the rosés will be that lovely, delicate, pale pink that the English love so much. But I can also tell you that a lot of the rosés will just be ordinary rosés that the guys will be drinking and everyone will be drinking in the local bar, and it'll be a nice, proper, deep colour, like some of the Languedoc rosés and some of the
Tavel and things like that.
Noir. Yeah. And, you know, frankly, bring it on. You know, I get so weary of this constant obsession with pale pink rosé and everything being delicate and pretty. Oh, for goodness sake.
Give us some flavour.
Yeah, give us some flavour. Stop worrying about your next Instagram posting the taste of wine.
Cool. Is there anything else about that region, or maybe it's, you know, your favorite wines or anything like that that you want to share with us?
Well, you know, I think it's my philosophy, or what my one of my interests in wine, Chris, is that I don't just like one thing. I love diversity, and so that's why if anyone says to me what's my favorite wine in the world, I don't know, because I've got loads of favorite, I bet you have loads of favorite wines in the world, because I'm on this amazing journey that I've come to quite late. I mean, I'm only 52, but you know what I mean. I wasn't getting into wine in my 20s, studying it anyway. And to me, it's about discovery. And that's why I like Bergerac, because of the variety. And there's some seriously good Bergerac wine being made. And there are two or three producers who are selling their wine on the export markets. There's a guy called Luc de Conti, Italian family, as it sounds, de Conti, but he's been in Bergerac for three or four generations, making amazing wine, sells through the Wine Society. There's another guy selling through Tanners. So they're selling through the bit that is around, will be in specialist wine shops, or you'll get some really awful Bergeret Blanc Sec on the bottom shelf of Sainsbury's with a made-up label called Duc de Castillac or something, that's, you know, some ducal castle that doesn't exist. They've just put it on the label to try and sell the wine. But I mean, yeah, a really good a Côte de Bergerac that's been well oaked with is better than a lot of average Bordeaux, and it's about half the price. So
I was going to say, yeah, because one of the things about Bordeaux is you can spend 10, 15 quid and get a very average bottle of wine in Bordeaux, yeah. Which is just because of the name and cachet associated with it, but it's not.
Exactly that. So the poor guys, you've got to feel the winemakers in the western part of Bergerac, and they are skillful winemakers making beautiful wines. They can see Saint-Emilion and Cassillon from their homes and their vineyards, but they're having to sell their wines with a Bergerac label on it, and they can't get the prices for it. And they do it for the love. They don't do it for the money. If they did it for the money, they'd go and move to Bordeaux and sell it more expensively. There's some great wines there. So I would urge everyone to it's hard to find them in the shops, as I said, but Wine Society, Tanners do a bit. But actually, you know, get COVID out of the way, go there. It's such an interesting region. The history is so interesting. The culture is so interesting. Mm. The wines, the food's great, and the wines are varied, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll have to have a look, because I was well impressed with Cahors when I went and visited that a few years ago, and it sounds like Bergerac is in a similar vein, so it might be quite good.
Bergerac's more interesting than Cahors, and I love Cahors. I love Malbec and I love Cahors wines, and the town of Cahors is lovely. It's historic. It's on the River Lot.
Yeah, it's nice. It's
a beautiful, beautiful city, amazing cathedral, lovely food. Of course, go to Cahors.
Great running around the river.
but if you want more diversity and more interest in your wines, go to Bergerac. It's much more interesting.
Okay then, Richard. I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
Pleasure, Chris.